Oh, that's right. Good morning again. And looks like the gremlins have gotten out of the telephone lines here today. So we are good. Sitting across from me on the table here is Christy Hall. She is the Secretary of Transportation. She's getting ready to go back down into Columbia. How you doing today, Christy?
Doing great, Ann. Thanks for the invitation to come on your spot this morning.
Well, I kind of think you're in the hot seat over there. I mean, there is a lot of conversation about what is going to be done about our roads and everything. I know that, you've been in this office for, about 2 months, maybe going on three, I don't know, 2 or 3 months here. You were the interim. You were out of that office, in that office, and now you have been confirmed. How does it feel to actually be the Secretary of Transportation?
Well, it's certainly an honor and a privilege to work for the citizens of our great state, and I'm very, very honored to serve with Governor Haley to help advance transportation initiatives in the state. And certainly, having worked for the agency for well over 20 years and done just about everything from patching potholes to building roads to dealing with maintenance, construction, traffic, pretty much everything, I've had the opportunity to work in almost every area of the agency. It's very rewarding to be at the top to help lead the dedicated workforce that we have.
That sounds really political here, Christy. How does it feel to be on call 24/7?
Well, it can be a challenge at times, certainly. You never know when the phone's going to ring. You never know when a disaster hits the state, a tanker explosion, natural disaster, whatever it is. But, I'm still very much energized by the job and appreciate the opportunity.
You know, I think you were the acting secretary at the time when we had all the rain and all the issues there. That must have been just seeing you guys on TV looking worried, harried, and trying to cover all the bases. That had to be quite a time.
Yes, it certainly was. I mean, we knew going into that event the day before that it was expected to be a historic event, but we certainly did not predict the level of devastation that happened to the state. And so when the storm hit, we went into overdrive, and there were about 6 days in a row that I literally stayed in the office working, doing whatever we needed to do to get things coordinated and provide information and visibility and set a work plan for response and recovery. It was certainly a very, very busy time for everybody. But serving in the position that I'm in now, I certainly called upon all my years of experience and working in the field and could somewhat predict what my field forces would need in order to be able to respond effectively. So, I was very, very blessed to be in the spot that I was at that particular time to be able to help lead things. But it certainly was a challenging event to manage and to work through. And, I'm very pleased with the results of the DOT team and what we were able to do, as well as Team South Carolina with the governor and her leadership and Emergency Management Division, National Guard, everybody that chipped in to help address the situation. It was certainly a once in a lifetime event for me as a leader of the DOT. And but the way that we were able to respond and recover mm-hmm. has been something that's caught the attention of a lot of people, both here in the U.S. We've received calls from other states wanting to know just how we did it. Other DOTs. I've received calls and invitations from Europe wanting to know exactly how we were able to do it. We've been recognized by some very strong in the engineering arena, national organizations praising the work of South Carolina and the South Carolina DOT in particular for our response and recovery.
Wow. Now, just before we get into our just the regular road system, how are the roads that were affected during from the flooding and whatnot? How are the roads doing there?
Yeah, well, actually, we're doing very, very well statewide on that aspect. At the peak of the closures, which was 48 hours after the rains began, we had about 541 roads closed across the state. Within, and that happened October the 5th, so by Thanksgiving, I had set a target to reopen 75% of those roads by Thanksgiving, so just a few weeks away. And the team actually was able to reopen about 90%, pretty close to 90% of those roads by Thanksgiving. So the roads that remain closed currently are few and far, sprinkled out across the, particularly the Midlands area. But they are usually sites are either bridges that were completely washed out that we're in the process of rebuilding, or across privately owned dams where we're waiting for the dam owner to come in and reconstruct the dam so we can put the road back in.
Well, that's there's nothing like jumping right in and getting something done. Of course, you didn't actually get confirmed until January, correct?
That's correct, January 28th.
January 28th. So as you move forward here, I know you've got a lot on your agenda, and I know the Senate, of course, had a nice little filibuster there about whether to have a gas tax, whether to put more money into DOT. We've got so many different issues that are happening there. But I think the question that is on the common citizenry is, number one, it seems like our roads are bad. Are they as bad as we think they are?
They're every bit as bad as you think they are. And they're predicted actually to not improve, actually to get worse over time. We've done a 10-year forecast on road conditions in the state, and that forecast basically continues to show a sharp decline in the condition of the roads that we have in the state currently. Our major highways, like the road out here in front of your studio, that we call primary routes, which are roads that have either a SC or U.S. shield on them, like U.S. 178 or U.S. 25 or South Carolina 72 in this region. Those roads they carry about half of all traffic in the state. So they're heavy, used very heavily. They connect communities together, and they are in one of the worst conditions that we have in our total inventory. As a matter of fact, about 80% of those roads, major roads, a lot of people use, are classified in fair or poor condition. So that just tells you that essentially only 20% of those roads we consider good. And you know them when you ride on them. And you know the ones that are in fair or poor condition when you ride on them. Everybody, including myself, have kind of learned, where, you know, as you're driving to work or back and forth to the market or wherever, where the potholes are and where you need to move over to try to not hit those potholes. You know, it's unfortunately become part of the way that we're having to do our commutes today.
Well, just out of curiosity, why can't we just fix the potholes? I mean, what does it take to fill it in? Peggy and I have actually laughed a little bit about a citizenry pothole fill-in. I mean, you know, if it's on your street, why not go out and just fill it in? I mean, what does it take just to get potholes?
That's a very good question,
Anne. Thank you.
And I'm glad you asked that, because I believe there's a misconception that when we go out and make a temporary repair of filling a pothole, that it's intended to be a long-term permanent repair. It's not. When we go out and patch a pothole, it is literally meant to be a temporary solution. The permanent solution is when we come in and basically deconstruct a large area of that roadway and then rebuild it. When a pothole forms in the road, and I'm going to get a little technical on you.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, so when a pothole forms in the road, it's not the riding surface that is the problem. It's the support layers underneath that riding surface. And once it degrades to that point, then you have to rebuild it from the bottom up to effect a permanent repair. So, you know, there's an art and a science to pothole patching.
And that, my friends, could take a long time to discuss, which we don't have. So it's really the underneath of the road that is degrading. It's not the tar or the pavement asphalt.
That's right. It's typically not the asphalt on top. It's the support layer underneath the roadway.
Isn't that one of the biggest problems that we have with the roads is the fact that we haven't taken care of the roads for the last, I don't know how many years, so the roads actually are degrading everywhere.
That's correct. And actually, once the roads degrade to a certain point, it costs significantly more in funds to rebuild them, because essentially you're having to go all the way down to that base layer to repair it and return it to service. So once a roadway gets to that point, it can cost 10 times more than just a normal repaving job where you just come and just add another layer of asphalt on top. So, but the funding's not there to address all the needs that the state has. We have the fourth largest highway system in the nation, and the third lowest gas tax in the nation. And those two things added together just creates the dilemma that we're in today with the condition of our roads.
And we should add a third part, and the desire to spend money on other things other than the roads.
That's correct. And let me just preface this by saying that there are multiple agencies in this state that spend road dollars. Okay, there's the South Carolina DOT, which is the lead transportation agency in the state, but there's also the State Infrastructure Bank that funds very large widening projects typically. There's also something called the County Transportation Committees that typically fund paving projects for two-lane roadways in the various counties. And then in some parts of the state, there are things called local sales tax programs, where the local citizenry have imposed a sales tax on themselves to fund transportation projects. So there's really about four DOTs in the state, and they're funded in vastly disparate ways. DOT were funded primarily at the state level through the gas tax, which is 16.75 cents here in South Carolina at the state level. And about 25% of that state gas tax is actually, it goes to others, whether it's to the CTCs or to the State Infrastructure Bank or some other diversions that happen. So we're left with about three-quarters of those funds. And then when you add in the impact of inflation that's occurred since 1987, which was the last time the gas tax was raised, you basically are asking your DOT to operate on the equivalent of about a nickel today. And so it just, things cost more today than they did in 1987, and the dollar just doesn't go as far as it used to.
That's right. But it does seem that we've identified this problem. It was identified last year and nothing was done on it. Now we're already into March, Christy. Into April. We're already into April, and the session ends in June.
That's right. And we've, DOT has been very active with trying to provide good information and analysis to our members of the General Assembly. So as they debate House Bill 3579, which is commonly referred to as the Roads Bill, they can make some informed decisions. So the House passed H-3579 and sent it to the Senate. The Senate took action on it and then sent it back to the House. So we're at the point now to where the House needs to take a vote, make a decision on what they want to do with H-3579, the Roads Bill, in order to try to address the needs of the state citizens. I hear all the time that roads is the number one issue in the state, and of course I have to agree with that as the leader of the DOT, but it's not just me speaking as a DOT leader, it's me speaking as an ordinary citizen as well, driving as much as I do across the state. I see the needs myself and hear them, whether it's from my friends and family here in Greenwood or colleagues that I work with in other parts of the state, that the needs are real and legitimate, and something needs to be done, and it needs to be done as soon as possible. My greatest fear is that we continue to delay, or that we kick the can down the road another year and not deal with some of the real issues that we have today, which is primarily, from my perspective, is going to be getting something passed this session and getting it passed in a manner that sets the agency up for success going forward. I believe the governance issue is probably one of the largest issues facing DOT right now.
Now, when you talk about the governance, you're talking about whether it's appointed by the Senate or by the governor, the commission, the, or who's in charge?
Yeah, that's basically it, Ann. It's who's in charge of the agency. You know, I serve and have been appointed by the governor. That's the way the current structure is set up, to where the agency head is set up by, is appointed by the governor. But the governing board, the called the commission, is appointed by the General Assembly. And so basically you've got two
factions.
Well, it's two groups, yeah. Both in law appointed to run the agency. And it's very confusing.
Does it kind of tie your hands on what direction to go?
I believe it holds me back somewhat from where I really want to take the agency. I've done a few things already that I know need to happen within the agency, but I have a vision for the DOT to take the agency to a performance-based organization. But, you know, it's kind of hard to know whether to kick it in overdrive just yet because, you know, what's DOT going to look like? And it could change dramatically over the next several months depending on action by the legislature or inaction by the legislature. So this issue of governance absolutely has to be resolved. It's a huge cloud that's hanging over the agency. I feel it within the organization, staff having to walk a fine line between do they work for me or do they work for the commission? And, you know, I see them doing balancing acts on that all the time, and it's just not a good thing for the DOT. So we need to get that addressed and resolved as quickly as possible. H-3579 is expected to be discussed by the House when they return from furlough next week, and I'm hopeful that they'll take it up and take some action on it, hopefully quickly. Obviously, concurrence would be the fastest way to get resolution on the issue and move forward and then look towards next year to address the long-term sustainable funding for DOT.
Just out of curiosity, right now it was in the Senate, it's gone to the House, it's gone back to the Senate. Is that where we are on this?
So it originated in the House. The House passed a version, sent it to the Senate. The Senate a few months ago took action on it and then sent it back to the House. So what happens now is the House needs to take action on it. If they vote to concur, then it basically would go forward to the governor for signature and putting into effect. If they do not concur, then it goes to a conference committee, and that would be an opportunity for things to get delayed and not progress in a timely manner to get the issue resolved. And quite frankly, that's a concern that I have, is that, you know, as you mentioned earlier, the clock's running out on us, and the longer we wait, the more likely it is that we're not going to get a roads bill this year.
Well, I know that's one of the things that Governor Haley is really concerned about, and she's tried to kick some butt, just to say it nicely, to get some action out of the Senate, and it did. It moved it to the House, and now you're saying the House has to either pass what the Senate did or send it back. Or come up with their own ideas, and then it's going to end up in a conference. Who knows what could happen then?
That's correct. The shortest path to victory would be concurrence, certainly. And the quickest path to victory would be concurrence. Anything other than that, you definitely run the risk of things getting hung up in the legislative process. And again, like you said earlier, you know, the clock's running out, and we have limited time left to get things resolved.
All right. We are here with Christy Hall. We're going to join South Carolina Radio News, and we'll be right back. Hey, if you've got a question for Christy, pick up that phone and give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash, then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. All you have to do is say that telephone number. And Jeff's not right here by where he can take a call at this moment, so don't call. Give him about 5 minutes. But people are calling, Christy, and of course, everybody, it has to be difficult. We have a whole state of roads that are bad. But just here right now, Debbie called and wanted to know when the roads around Hodges and where Shoals are going to get fixed. Colin called and said, Tranquil has a ditch across it, was told it had been repaired, but it's not been done correctly. And Bill has noticed the road to Starfort is really potholed. I mean, and that's just less than 5 minutes worth of calls. We know this is an issue all across, and that's just right here. And we've got more issues than that right here in Greenwood area.
Right. I mean, we have tens of thousands of roads that have the same situations on them all across the state. You know, the condition of the roads that folks here in Greenwood are experiencing are in all 46 counties of this great state. So it's just unfortunately where we are in the condition of our roads in the state. Our bridges are actually in fairly decent shape. About 2/3 of our bridges are in good condition. The rest, we're monitoring for structural issues, so we do have some issues there, but they're all safe to use. But the roads themselves have just eroded over time, and we've seen a sharp decline in the condition of those roads over the last 10 years or so, and we're forecasting it to get worse. So if you think they're bad now, I don't see any relief in sight to address the condition of those roads. We'll certainly do temporary repairs, like I mentioned earlier, with you and the pothole patrols. But the permanent solution is typically going to be a reconstruction of the roads, which is even more expensive. So the longer you wait and the longer South Carolina waits to address this issue, the more expensive it gets, or the deeper the hole it is that we have to dig ourselves out of. So I appreciate the folks calling in, and I'll certainly take this list back with me and have my team look at it to see if we can make some adjustments to the repairs.
Now, Christy, just so people understand how expensive it is, 1 mile of road where you just are having to repave it. Now, I'm not talking about a two-lane. I'm talking about the one lane, because I know you get into two lanes, four lanes, and it really gets complicated. But how much does it cost just to pave 1 lane of road?
Yeah, our average cost is going to be somewhere in the $100,000 to $125,000 per lane.
Right. Okay.
For 1 mile. So for a 1 mile, two lane highway, I typically will use a figure of somewhere between $230,000 to $250,000, $250,000.
Okay. Now, if you have to deconstruct a road and go back to square one, how much does it cost for 1 mile, one lane?
It can be as high as $1 million or more, just depends on how wide you go, how deep you go. I mean, there's just all these factors that play into it, but it becomes dramatically more expensive to do a reconstruction than just a simple repaving.
Now, just out of curiosity, should you have the money available to do it, what is the order that things should be done in? I mean, should repaving be done? Should deconstructing be done? What should be the order that you try to do things? I know one of the things is that you're talking about no really new construction. You're talking about getting the roads back in shape. But what should be the order that things get done?
Yeah, great question. And I get that question a lot, actually, because obviously everybody's wanting to maximize every dollar that is targeted for roads and bridges these days. DOT, we actually use a blended approach to determining what roads to fix. And when I say blended approach, what I mean is we'll target some funds for something we call preservation, which is where we go in and we'll seal the cracks on the roadway to try to keep water from penetrating to the base layer. We'll do that for a certain percentage of roads, and then we'll do something called light rehabilitation, which is where we go in and maybe take off 1 or 2 inches of asphalt and put back 1 or 2 inches of asphalt, replace in kind. And then we'll target the additional dollars for the complete reconstruction. So it's, we try to do a little bit of everything to try to maximize the dollars. We don't put everything into the simple fixes, because if we do that, we're going to completely ignore the roads where folks are, you know, we have potholes the size of Volkswagens that people may be falling into that, that we have to address. So we can't ignore the worst of the worst, but we shouldn't invest all of our dollars in the worst of the worst. We need to kind of spread it out and use engineering judgment to make decisions on what's the best way to invest those dollars. One of the things that I did when I first became secretary was outlined a fix-it-first approach for investment of new dollars, and that was intended to give the General Assembly something to consider as they're debating funding and governance and other items for the DOT. And that fix-it-first approach and the scenarios that I laid out for the General Assembly to consider started off with pavements, and then existing bridges, and very little widening and congestion broken in or weaved into the lower investment levels. And it's simply stating that we need to make an investment in the existing roads and bridges in this state, get them up to par as far as we can before we start adding new lanes, before we start widening existing roads, before we start building new highways. So it's not saying that traffic's not a big problem. I certainly know here in the Greenwood area, traffic's grown a lot over the last several years, but we have our existing road network is in such poor condition that we need to focus on that first.
Now, you know, the question always comes up, Christy, though. It seems like that the down there on the coast, they get more dollars for towards fixing the roads than we ever see up here in little old Greenwood or Ware Shoals or 96, any of those areas. How can we know that we're getting some of these dollars coming this way? And if the H3579 passes, will that change? Because some of the people that have been on the commission are people that are very strong for their areas. Woo! There's a loaded question.
That's a very good question, Ann. I can tell you've been doing a lot of reading.
A little bit.
Well, I think one of the confusion or one of the items that gets confused is in these areas that I talked about earlier that have imposed local option sales tax on themselves to fund road projects, that those programs in some areas of the state can be larger than what DOT is funding in those same areas.
Sure.
And when I look at it statewide, I can tell you that they fund these local sales tax programs have in aggregate, all across the state, they put in about 50% as much money as the state DOT does statewide. So they have very, very large programs. And so when you see paving projects and widening projects and things like that in Myrtle Beach and the Charleston area and other parts of the coastal areas, it's because they've imposed those local option sales tax on themselves and are funding those projects.
They're not getting extra money out of the DOT?
No, they're not.
Okay.
Now, they will get funding through the State Infrastructure Bank,
okay,
which is one of those other transportation
fundings
agencies that I spoke to. But for South Carolina DOT, we, on paving dollars, we have an allocation formula that we utilize. And part of what we look to do is to make sure that there's at least a minimum amount that's distributed to each of the counties. And having come from a rural area, that's something that's definitely important to me. And I've re-looked at the distributions that we're using to make sure that the rural counties aren't being slighted and the money's inadvertently going to the more populated areas of the state. So I feel fairly comfortable and confident that if additional funding comes to DOT, that you will see it in all parts of the state.
Okay. All right. Now, but the one thing that everybody has been on everybody's mind, you know, we've talked about the fact that South Carolina has, is it the lowest or next to the lowest gas tax? We're third lowest. Okay. Then what about the gas tax issue, has that been taken off the table for this year as far as a possibility for funding?
Well,
an additional gas tax.
Yeah, I would say that for this year, the both the House and the Senate versions of the roads bill included somewhere in the neighborhood of about $400 million of additional new funding.
That's from the general budget, from the general dollars coming into the general fund, correctly?
It was a combination. So on the Senate side, it was dollars out of the general fund. The House original version was a mix, a blended approach, where it utilized changes to the gas tax structure, imposed an excise tax, and did some other things that was proposed by an ad hoc committee that was set up a year or so ago. And so, but both of them, at the time they were proposed, was somewhere in the $400 million range for additional funding for roads. Since then, the state budget has advanced, and within that state budget, the last week before the House went on furlough, they approved setting up a little more than $400 million in road funds out of the one-time budget to come to DOT to use on repairing the roads and bridges. So there's basically been a one-year bridge put into place to finance road and bridge projects for the upcoming year. That's not a long-term sustainable approach. The governor has publicly stated that she wants to work together with the leadership to develop a long-term sustainable solution. But for this year, the budget's got the funding in it. We can move forward, go ahead and concur on the House bill, and get the governance issue resolved. And she's committed to working together with the leadership to develop a long-term sustainable funding solution for roads and bridges.
So how much is the budget then for the roads for this year?
Well, the new dollars we're talking about is in the $400 million range.
Okay, and what is the average budget of DOT then?
Our typical budget is about $1.6
billion.
Billion. Billion with a B.
Okay.
So we're talking about $400 million on top of that. But you have to understand our budget, the bulk of our budget is federal funds. So the real way to look at it is state funding. How much more state funding has South Carolina allocated to roads and bridges? And the answer is, basically, with this one-time dollars, the legislature basically will be doubling the amount of state dollars going to DOT in a given year. So think of it more along those lines.
Basically, the state has contributed $2 million in the past to the budget. Is that what you're saying? Because now we're at, 200, and now we're at $400 million.
Typically, the gas tax will bring in about a little more than $400 million a year in the DOT. And so what we're saying is, in addition to that normal gas tax money that's coming in, they've set aside about $400 million additional general fund dollars for roads and bridges.
Okay. So how many roads would that do? No, I'm not going there right now. Okay. All right. Let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, I understand there is the audit is coming out of DOT. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what else we can get into. Hey, I'm Ann Eller here with Christy Hall. We'll be right back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, you know, we're getting lots of calls because people want to know what can be done. You know, we realize on the lower rungs of society here, those that drive up and down the roads, that the roads are in bad shape. And Christy, I just wonder, what can people do? Can they call their legislators to make sure, particularly, I guess, since South Carolina 3579 is in the House, I guess they should call and try to talk to them about this issue?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start, Ann. I mean, obviously, our House members here in the the Greenwood area are very much aware of the roads issue, and certainly if the folks, your listeners, are motivated to reach out to their legislators to let them know just how important the roads issue is to them to get something resolved this session, I think would be a great place to start. If you've got a specific issue on a pothole or whatnot that you'd like addressed, then I'll give you the number of our local district office that you can share with your listeners. You can call them and put in a request to get the repair done. But we really need to look at the bigger issue of this roads bill and trying to get some movement on it as soon as possible. So any and all help that we could get to try to, just make sure everybody's aware that this is a major issue in the state.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that was explained to me was I actually never understood why Governor Haley was so adamant that if there was a gas tax increase, it had to be something taken off on our personal taxes. I never really understood that. And then it was explained to me, and I'm going to ask you if this is correct or not, is that it would actually put the dollars going directly. If there was an increase in the gas tax and there was something taken off on the other side, it would simply focus those dollars to the roads because it would be in the form of a gas tax. Is that correct?
Well, typically the gas tax is something that's what we call restricted in government lingo, basically meaning that it's set out for a dedicated purpose. But I would say that most states in the U.S. currently are using, they've diversified their portfolio. So they're not only using gas tax dollars, but they're using general fund dollars and other funds to try to meet the needs of the roads. So my understanding of the governor's position was simply one of not wanting to increase the tax without an offset of an equivalent amount on the income tax. And, the simple thought is that the general fund continues to grow over time and has grown quite dramatically over the last couple of years. And so it just appears there may be ample funds available to offset any sort of gas tax. So that was her thoughts on that going into it. Certainly over time she's listened to the citizenry and others and is really more or less taken the approach of let's work together to figure out what's a good solution going forward. But obviously she is not in favor of just flat out dramatic increases in tax rates for the citizens of South Carolina.
Sure. So as we move forward on this, it's going to how much money is it going to take to fix our roads? Just out of curiosity, go ahead, throw a figure out. I'm numb.
Well, even your puppy over here is excited about it. So I've already said that the needs of the system are tremendous. That we've got a lot of. The roads in the state are in very bad condition, and a lot of them have eroded to the point of needing to be completely reconstructed. So the number, if you were to rebuild everything in the state, we're talking big numbers with a B on the back of it. So the existing road network, probably well over $1 billion to get everything back up to a perfect state of condition. $1.5 billion to not only reconstruct the existing roads, but do all the widenings that everybody wants to see in their communities all across the state, transit, I mean, just the Cadillac version of everything. I know that neither one of those is realistic nor achievable. And so because knowing that, it's not realistic to think that quadrupling or, significantly increasing the gas tax is never going to happen. It's not the right thing to do anyway. That we had to come up with some investment scenarios. And so once I was appointed as secretary, my team and I developed some investment scenarios that basically said, okay, for $200 million additional a year, we could stop the decay of the system. We can't fix it, mm-hmm. but we can keep it from getting worse. $400 million would make a pretty dramatic difference in the road network. You could see some noticeable improvements to it, very limited widening-type projects. $600 million, still a fix-it-first approach, but you start to weave in a little bit of widening projects. And then $800 million, scenario additional each year. You would do some much major widening projects. So $400 million is a very good start for us to address the road and bridge problems in the
state. But then how long does it take to get it done? Because it seems like it moves at snail's pace on getting this stuff done, Christy. And I understand it's all the approvals that have to be done before you can even get there.
Well, that's the good thing about a fix-it-first approach, is because we have the ability to quickly deliver paving projects, to quickly deliver bridge replacement projects. It's the big widening projects that just take so long to do, especially interstate projects. Big interstate widening projects can take as long as 7 years just to get ready to go to contract. So when we adopt this fix-it-first approach and talk about investment levels with $400 million, we're not talking interstate widening projects is going to take 7 years to deliver. We're talking about putting money to paving these roads that I talked about earlier that connect our communities, like the U.S. and SC routes. We're talking about paving our interstates that are in dire need. We're talking about bridges that are in dire need. We're talking about the day-to-day maintenance, like the ditching that your constituents called in. So we're talking about maintenance as a priority first. Let's get that squared away, and then we can look to adding more items for us to maintain in the future.
Okay. All right. We've only got a couple minutes left here, and I understand the audit comes out tomorrow. What can you tell us before it comes out that I can scoop right here on WCRS?
Well, this is an exclusive, Ann. So,
okay, go ahead.
The legislature has an audit group called the Legislative Audit Council, and they've spent many, many, many months reviewing the agency from top to bottom. They hired financial consultants to come in to help review the agency. They utilized my staff to turn every rock over and look at everything. And, of course, it's going to be a thick audit because when you look at everything from top to bottom, there's a lot of material to look at. But, I'm looking forward to the audit coming out so that we can talk through and embrace a lot of the items that have been identified in the audit and use it as a roadmap to improve the agency going forward. There will be some things that we simply have a disagreement of opinion on with the auditors, and we'll just walk through that with our legislative bodies as we go forward. So hang on, and we'll see what happens, and when it comes out, I'll be more than happy to come back up here and we can talk specifics and details.
Sounds great. A roadmap, she says. An audit is a roadmap. Isn't that so creative there, Christy? Well, Christy Hall, she is the Secretary of Transportation. Christy, I really appreciate you coming up here and giving us an update as you get ready to go forth and hopefully get some things hashed out, mapped out for the future of the roads here in South Carolina.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate the opportunity, and just thank your listeners for all their help. We simply can't wait in South Carolina to take action on roads in the state.
That's right. This is WCRS in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.